Thank you, Jesus. Me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, this morning. Hallelujah. Something's happening. Something is breaking. Something is beginning. Something is restoring. Something's happening. The Spirit of God is actually pleased this morning with all of his children. And we know that sometimes we're not so sure. But God sees things differently than we do. God sees you covered and washed in the blood of the Lamb. God sees you righteous. God sees you holy. Amen. He doesn't look upon your weaknesses and your sins and condemn you and judge you and destroy you. No. He knows that you're nothing but flesh and you make mistakes and you're going to, well, let me change that. You sin. Amen. You sin. The mistake is for you to do is not to confess your sins.
Amen.
Now that's a mistake. But we acknowledge fact that we do sin at times. Amen? But God is easier to forgive your sins. It's easier for God to forgive your sins than to watch you live a life that is not beneficial for you. In other words, what I'm saying, God cares more for you than you care for yourself. Amen? He does. He loves you more than you can love yourself. He really wants you in every way of your life to prosper. Amen? And it's not, and you know, I talk about prosperity. Prosperity is not about how much money you got. You can be the wealthiest person in the world where money is concerned, still be the poorest person in the world where your spirit's concerned. Amen? God had laid on my heart, really, truth. We're going to talk about, and I promise not too long, hopefully. But God really laid on my heart this morning that I was actually hurting for the body of Christ in a way that he was saying to us, or to me, I mean, in Matthew 7:21, when he said, in that day they will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, done all these things in your name? And he said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. In other words, there was people in the church who thought they were saved and walking with the Lord, doing all these wonderful works, and yet when it came time to stand before the Master, they missed it. I don't want that ever happen to anybody in this place. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's the most important thing in your whole existence, is to make sure where you end up.
Amen.
And just because we say something, just because we go to church, just because we read the Bible once in a while, doesn't mean that we're where we're supposed to be, where God is concerned. It's so critical. He said, examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. We're all supposed to examine ourselves. How do you do that? Well, you got the Word of God, obviously. But I'm going to tell you, what's the simplest thing in the world is, Lord Jesus, am I walking and living in the faith? That's it. He'll answer you. How many know God will answer you? We don't want to have that faith that just up here in the mind that says, yeah, I'm all right. I go to church and I read the Bible and I'm a pretty good person, you know? I don't want that to happen to anybody, including myself. I examine myself. I make sure. Lord, am I in the faith? I want to know. Because if I'm missing the mark, you tell me. Because I don't want to stand before Jesus in that hour and that day and, sorry, you really never truly washed in the blood of the Lamb. You never truly knew me. And I never truly knew you because you didn't have a relationship with me. Well, how do I know if I got a relationship with Jesus? You'll know. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do all I command you to do. Amen? It's about a love thing. It's not about anything else. Well, how do I love people. I love God. I love everybody. Look in 1 Corinthians 13. See what love is all about. Amen? See what love is all about. And look at your... We've been talking about this for a while now. And the enemy, in the wiles of the enemy, is to deceive you. He doesn't mind thinking you're all right if you're not truly all right. He doesn't mind you having all the things of this world, everything that it offers, everything your heart's desire out there in a worldly fashion. He doesn't mind you having all that. The one thing he does mind, if you ever find out what it truly means to be saved and walk in the power and the might of God's resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he cares about, because you become a threat to him. A person who is truly saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, Satan fears you more than anything else in the world. Well, I don't believe there's a Satan. First deception. He doesn't want you to believe in him. Or have knowledge of him, let me put it that way. Have knowledge of him. We are determined here at New Hope that whosoever comes through these doors hears the truth, receives the truth to the best of we can give to them. If they accept it and receive it, fine. Some people walk out and say, I don't believe anything he said. I wish you'd get it over with. It's a waste of time. That's fine. We still love you. I don't want to ever see somebody who came into this church and said we're part of New Hope stand before Jesus and see that happen. I never knew you. I don't know. You say there's no tears in heaven. Well, if that happens and you're in heaven, I don't know. I don't know when you'll stand there. Maybe it'll be at the last days of the judgment seat. You won't end up going into rapture. I don't know. But whatever it is, I don't want it to happen to anybody here. Amen? You're all going. You're all going to enter through those gates. You're going to be singing hallelujah, hosanna. Holy, holy, holy. Whatever they're singing, you'll be singing. Your hands will be raised. And if they got palms up there, you'll be waving the palms. You'll doing all that thing. Trust me when I tell you this. You'll be so excited. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be a joyous time. Hallelujah. Do you know the only time the Bible talks about a party going on in heaven? Is when one sinner gets saved. Said the angels rejoice.
Amen.
And I believe with all my heart, everything that's in me, when one Christian backslides to the point they could walk away from God completely, I think the demons rejoice. It's the only time they have a party in hell, when they got a hold of one Christian who turned away from the truth. They got a party too. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. So that was on my heart before service began. So I just want, and if you have not accepted Christ, what's it mean to accept Christ? Just acknowledge he died for your sins. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. Help me, Lord. I don't know what to do. Just cry out to him and say, save me, Lord. God will make a way.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Just acknowledge who he did, who he is, what he did, and go on with it. Then trust God after that. Watch what he'll do. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. Let's go back. I'm not going to go through all what we've been talking about, but let's give a quick synopsis of it. We've been talking about understanding and knowing the wiles of the enemy, how he works. Then we talked about how to overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and they love their life not unto death. Then we said, how do we get to that place where you love your life not unto death? Because that's not something you can do on your own. I'm always amazed when I watch the people over in the Middle East, especially Christians. They're lining them up. And they're kneeling there, hands tied, whatever. I don't know if their feet are tied. I never looked. They're ready to either cut off their head for their testimony of Christ or shoot them or whatever they plan on doing. And they're just quietly kneeling there. I'm always amazed at that. I don't know what I would be doing. I'd be crying. I'd be weeping. I'd be yelling. I'd say, help! Something. But they're just quietly kneeling there, waiting. How is it possible that fear just doesn't drive you to go crazy at that moment? But they just kneel there. These are people over in the Middle East, and these many of them have just received Christ. They never lived in a prosperous country like this. They never had all that wealth and all the freedom to worship and the freedom to stand in a church like this and worship God. Somehow somebody got a hold of them with the message and something in their heart quickened and they received Christ. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt within them. And with a very short period of time, somebody came knocking at the door, took them, brought them before a group of people and said, if you don't renounce Christ, you're going to die. And these people never do it. Or at least the ones we see never do it. When they get to the point and they got them kneeling on the ground, who in the world wouldn't say, wait a minute, let me change my mind here? You ever stop to think of that? I'm always amazed. I'm watching them. They're calmly just waiting. How is it possible? In the natural man, it doesn't work that way. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Ought to get that book. It's interesting. And they talk about people who were being burned at the stake for their confession of Christ as Lord and Savior. It says that some of them would be actually burning in the midst of the flames. Their hands would be raised worshiping God. That's not natural. That is not natural. That's not the way of man. I mean, naturally, what are you going to do? But what happens? Something happened. When you have Christ in your heart, grace enters in. With grace, believe it or not, mixed with faith, all things are possible. What seems impossible with man, God makes possible. All of a sudden, the life that we live here no longer has meaning. Listen to me. Those people who are over there, even today, maybe somebody over there right now is losing their life for the confession of Christ in their life. They're not worrying about what they're going to do in summertime, vacation, next week, weekends. They're not all caught up in all of that stuff. They're right at the moment. This is the day right now. This is the day that you'll meet your Maker, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This day. I'm sitting there and I'm going, God, help us. Are we ready to meet Jesus today? Are you ready to meet Jesus today? Are you looking forward to the summertime? Are you looking forward to something other than that? Because whatever you're looking forward to is what you are preparing for. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he goes. Does that mean we can't enjoy this life? Absolutely not. God gave us this world to enjoy, at least the earthly realm. He didn't give us the world, which is the world that they've turned and twisted and made it darkness instead of light. We can still enjoy being alive. We can still enjoy the things that God blesses us with. There's nothing wrong with that. And if God blesses you to be a multi-billionaire, praise God. If that's what God has given to you, make sure God is first in your life. Make sure Jesus. No, don't just say it. Yeah. Don't just say it. There has to be fruit of it. There has to be fruit in your life to show that. Somebody has to look at you and say, there's something different about you. You're not like all the rest. You don't talk like them. You don't act like them. You don't complain and murmur like them. You don't laugh at those jokes like them. There's got to be something inside of you that's changing. You. Not you doing it. You're just walking along doing what God tells you to do to the best of your ability. And you know you're not perfect. Nobody here is. But you know that God is doing something. Something changing in me. You know that. If it isn't, ask Him. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till it's too late. Let Him keep working on it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm trying to get off this subject. Glory to God. There's something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We rejoice today because Jesus Christ has entered into our hearts. Hallelujah. And He's brought the heart of flesh and removed that heart of stone. He brought life instead of death. All of a sudden we see the truth, and the truth has set us free so that we can walk in the freedom that Christ paid for at the cross at Calvary. We're not bound to this world. When His eyes coming in, the Lord started speaking to me. He said, Dave, if you love this world and love the things of this world, He said, you can't love Me too. He said, you can't love this mammon, the riches of this world, the things of this world, and love God. You can enjoy the things of this world, but you're not to love them. In other words, you don't put whatever you have in this world above your love for God. Amen? It's a dangerous thing to do because He said you have not the love of the Father in you. You had not the love of the Father in you. When you stand before Jesus, He's going to say, get away from Me. It's love that causes you to turn from that to Him. That's the only thing. And we talked about that. How do we overcome the wiles of the enemy? I said I thought there was three things we needed to do. We got to have love, hope, and faith. We talked about love. We talked about hope. Today I want to talk to you about faith. I still want to make sure that you understand what I'm talking about. I am not saying, because this can get, people get, you go too far this way and too far that way. I don't want you to say you can't enjoy what God has blessed us with down here. You can. Please, please, understand that. But don't make it your God. If you find more joy in the things of this world than you do in the presence of God, you're in trouble. Amen? Ask God's help. He'll deliver you out of that. I remember the time when, a long time ago, when we first started the church, a couple came to church. First, I think the wife came for a while. I don't know how it went. Diane would know. I don't. But anyways, they came to church. And I remember the first day, we were standing by the door. They were saying goodbye. We were saying goodbye. And he comes up to me. He shakes my hand. He said, it was a good service, but in the summertime, I'm not here on weekends. I got a camp up north, the Adirondacks, that's where I go every weekend. I said, okay. It probably went on the first year. Second year wasn't so much up north as it was staying here on Sundays. Why? Because finally God got a hold of him and started saying, what's more important to you, that or that? And he found out that was more important. Jesus was more important. And his presence. Was it mean that God wasn't with him up there? No, God's with him wherever he goes. He's got Christ in him. But the presence of God was greater when the congregation came together in worship and praise of him than it is individually. And it's true. I have loved the presence of God in my life. But when it's here, I watch people. Now, by the grace of God, I'm going to start standing in the back, I think. I want to watch you. Not because I'm going to see what you're doing or not doing. But there's something about it when all of a sudden God moves, like with Diane this morning. I remember another sister who used to come to church every Sunday. Remember her? One Sunday she just started weeping and crying. I said, what's wrong? Said, he hugged me this morning. Remember that? Seated right over there. He hugged me this morning. All of a sudden she knew. She had this knowledge up here that God hugged her and it came into the heart. Something changed at that moment. Hallelujah. I'll get back to the message here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know what faith is. Faith in the measure of faith. Now, some people, I said Sunday or Wednesday night service or on our Bible study, I said something I might change a little bit on because I've really been really struggling in this area with. Is that faith, everybody gets a measure. He said, every man gets the measure of faith. And that's critical. And many people believe that it's the same measure, everybody gets the same amount of faith. How that faith enters in. Amen? How does that faith enter in? By grace. Amen? It doesn't enter in any other way. But also grace and the Word of God. Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen? So when faith enters in, somebody walked up to you, spoke a word to you about Jesus. You accepted what they said. And at that moment, you accepted Christ, because if you accept the Word, you accept Him, for He is the living Word. Amen? You accepted that. Grace of God came, and the Spirit of God came, entered into your heart. And you now have that measure of faith which by which you can be saved and walk in the power of His might. Amen? Now, I want to take you from there to go into Hebrews Chapter 4. Remember, and I want to keep you in your mind, what are we doing? We're saying, how can we not love our life even unto death? How can we love our life even not unto death? So in other words, what he's saying to us is, there are people who love their lives more than they love Jesus. Again, it won't work. A house divided cannot stand. You can't love God and love yourself to the degree that you're not able to lay down your life. Because love of self will always be looking at self. Amen? When you love yourself, all you'll see is self. Yeah, but you got to love yourself. No, you love the Christ in you. Amen. You love the Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ dwells within you, love that. Love Him in you. Amen? And as He starts changing you, watch what happens is you won't become more loving of self. You'll become more humble. Amen? Because what happens is you recognize, I tried to give up smoking so many times, but only God delivered me from it. Amen. That's humility. That's what you want in your life. The Bible says that God will exalt the humble, takes down the prideful. So what we're working on now is, okay, Lord, transformation. Because once you have submitted to this Spirit of the Holy Spirit, to Christ, what happens is the enemy stops losing control over your life. He stops losing control over it. Oh, he doesn't have control over my life. Okay. I don't mean you're possessed, because if you're saved, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm not saying that. You're not a possessed person. What I'm saying is, if you're going through things and doing things that you know you should not be doing, and you know the Word of God, and He says, don't do those things because it's detrimental to your physical health, your spiritual health, and your peace of mind, and you continue to do it, I would say something has control of you. Well, you could say, well, it's the flesh. Sure, but the enemy only works in the flesh area. He can't work in your spirit. So if it's your flesh doing it, then what you're doing is you're humbling yourself to that enemy to work for him. The only way he's got power over you is in the fleshly area. Amen? So as long as you submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee. Amen? The more you submit, how do you submit to God? Walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's very simple. So I could recognize, okay, Lord, if you get into this place, there comes a place in faith, where your struggles cease. Hallelujah. There's a place you can enter into where your struggles with the flesh that allows the enemy to operate in your life cease. How'd you like to get there? Wouldn't it be great? When you get to that place, I got my notes written down there someplace, and I wrote down, you're going to end up in a place where you're going to experience God's provision, God's protection, God's power, God's peace. When you get there, you can't get there on your own. You can't get there on your own. You can't experience that. As a matter of fact, you can't live in that. The Bible says the just, if you're the just, which just means you just haven't done anything wrong. Raise your hand if that's you. You ought to raise your hand, everybody. You've been justified. Justified means just as if you've never sinned. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And in God's eyes, and in the written down testimony of who you are in heaven, and trust me when I tell you, there's a book of you in heaven. All those who confess your sins, all those sins that might have been there have been wiped clean. You're pure now. You won't get into heaven if you're not. You can't carry sin into heaven. God won't let it there. His son died for it. He shed his blood for that sin that you had. Wiped away. You've been justified. I'm just. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me. If he forgives me, he throws my sins into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, never again to be brought up and remembered. The only ones who remember now is me and the devil. Devil will remind you if you forget too. Then you got to remind him, oh no, that's been washed away. That's who I was. That's who now, here's who I am. Oh, glory. Amen? Go into Hebrews with me. Did I tell you to go there yet? 4. Amen? Okay. Chapter 1, or verse 1. Oh, what time is it? Okay. Verse 1. Chapter 4. Therefore means there's a wherefore. If he's saying therefore, he's going back to what he just previously said. So let's go back to chapter 3. Uh-oh. Chapter 3, verse 1. What's it say? Therefore. Now you're going to go back to chapter 2. Let's stay in chapter 3. Paul is writing to the church. Therefore, where are we? Hallelujah. I know. Why am I 2 Timothy? I don't know. I'll get there. Okay. Therefore, holy brethren. Who's holy here? Come on, raise your hands. If you don't take it, the devil will tell you you're not. If you don't say you are, I'm going to tell you something. You better get used to this. If you don't proclaim it, the devil will. He'll tell you exactly what you are. Listen, in the natural sense, except for Christ, except for the blood of the Lamb, Paul said it a long time ago. He said, listen, you were all liars and thieves and whoremongers and all this other stuff. You were all that once. But now you're holy. Amen? If you are holy, act it. Walk it. Talk it. Proclaim it. You're not holy because of what you did. It's you're holy because of what Christ did, and you accept what he did and made you holy.
Amen.
Amen? But take it. It's like anything else with God. It can offer it, but if you don't receive it, how do you receive it? Your mouth confesses it.
Amen.
You confess those things that aren't as though they be. In other words, you start proclaiming those things even if you're not acting like it. Because as much as you start talking about it, you'll start acting like it.
Amen?
Amen. Your mouth has power.
Right.
Said the power of life and death is in the tongue. The more you speak life, the more you'll walk in life. The more you speak death, the more you'll walk in death.
Amen. Amen.
That's true. Amen. Listen, if you just sit there and think about things, I guarantee, unless your mind's been totally renewed to this word, you're thinking bad thoughts. You understand that? Got quiet all of a sudden. But when those bad thoughts start coming towards you, and your mind has been renewed to the truth of what God said about you, and the devil starts shooting those darts at you about who you were, and what you just did 5 minutes ago, but 4 minutes ago, you confessed it before God, asked for forgiveness. Satan will remind you what you just did and say, how dare you think you can be that when God says you are that? Hallelujah. God is good. You're holy. Holy brethren. Excuse me. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Come on, that's you. That's what we're called to. We're called to heaven. We're on our way, by the way. The Bible says you're sojourners here. That means you're just passing through. This is not your home. Your citizenship is in heaven. You will spend eternity there. You live in New York now. What a comparison. Heaven, New York. Heaven, New York. Yeah, wow. And it can be depressing, thinking where your body is. But guess what? Your spirit and your mind can be in heaven already. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says your body is dying because of sin. And New York is full of it. Excuse me, Lord, forgive me. But your spirit's alive because of Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We live a different life, don't we? All right, let's go on. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Who appointed him? God. Amen. God sent him. As Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted. Let me say something to you too, because this really was the whole thing about what I was bringing you today was in my heart was that you are, how do you want to say it? You are on equal footing with Moses where God's concerned. You are on equal footing with Jesus as far as God's concerned. God says he loves you just as much as he loved Jesus. Whew. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. The same spirit that Jesus used to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to walk on water, to feed the thousands, is in you. Jesus, when he walked the earth, walked as a man. He didn't walk as God. Matter of fact, Jesus said, it's not me who does the work, but the Father who dwells within me. God is trying to get across to us, you're more than just what you see in the mirror. Amen? If you want to put it this way, you're a trunk. And in that trunk, there's all kinds of stuff. The old clothes that you wear, the body. The new clothes you're going to wear, the spirit. And along with all of that is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. All in you. Amen? But if you don't know that, you will think that you've got to satisfy this fleshly thing out here. And that's where the enemy has power. When you understand that you who you really are, you're loved of God, but you are more than that. You're so much. I wish if God would just open our eyes, we could see the purity and the holiness, the beauty that you are on the inside. You would never allow this thing on the outside dictate to you what's on the inside. You are beautiful beyond description. You're more wonderful than words can talk about. You're just as beautiful as Jesus is on the inside. You would never let this thing out here dictate to that beauty what it should do or not do. Only God can do that and bring that revelation to you, how beautiful you are. This world is a sad place right now. Children in schools are being bullied on so many different levels now. And you know what they're doing? They're making them feel that they're not beautiful. The most beautiful person, sometimes you see this pretty girl killed herself because she was bullied and people telling her how ugly she was. And she believed it. The devil's good at that. If you believe what the devil tells about you and what you look like, you're in danger because he wants to kill you. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. Because if you're not getting in there. You're not going to get there by your good looks. You're not going to get there by your good works. You're not. You can do good things all over the place. You can do things for people all day long. If you have not the love in you, the love of God, the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit, if you don't have that in you, all your good works are as filthy rags. You're beautiful. Look in the mirror tomorrow morning when you get up out of bed. Look in the mirror and say, "You're beautiful." You can only do that by the grace of God. Only the truth. The devil wants you to believe that you've got to dress this thing up here in order for that inside to look good. It's a lie from the devil. You're beautiful because of what Christ did for you. You're beautiful for what he said, who you are. You're his child. And I know this, what God said, he made everything good. He's creating you and recreating you into his image. Not because somebody out there said it, not because this is done, because Christ did it at the cross at Calvary. Sin, which makes everything ugly, was removed from you. Righteousness, which makes everything beautiful, was imputed to you. In other words, you became that. Awesome. Awesome. You'll wake up with a smile. You won't go, "Oh, me, tomorrow's Monday, I got to go to work, I don't want to get, I'm tired, I don't want," no. Wake up in the morning, start speaking to you the word of God right in the mirror. "Thank you, Father. This is who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been made beautiful in his sight." Hallelujah. You are so... And let me put it this way. For those who think you're not important, you're important. Maybe to the world you're not important. And in some cases, even to our family, we're not important. But to God, you're important. Matter of fact, you're so important, he said, you're precious. Precious. You're like a fine-cut jewel that God has placed in the highest position right next to him in heaven. You're that jewel. Oh, come on. You're so precious to him. Don't ever attack one of his precious jewels. God's very protective of his children. He really is. He doesn't want you to harm anyone. He doesn't want you to speak bad about anyone. Why? Because then you're just going to get it back. Because somebody else is going to talk about you that way. Because you reap what you sow. But when you recognize that you are a jewel, and you guys, again, I wish God would open, only I can ask God to open your eyes to see that. Paul said to open the eyes of their understanding, they would know, that you would know what are the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you. You have such a precious, precious, precious position in God's life. None of you are useless. None of you, I don't care what you think about yourself, whatever you say about or somebody else said, God would never send his son to die that horrible death on that cross for something that he did not think was worth dying for. You're worth that and so much more. And if it was need be, Jesus would come again and die on that cross for you. And you'd do it again and again and again if he had to. Do you understand that? Don't just go around this world thinking, oh me, oh my life's just terrible. Or, oh gee, I don't have... Come on. Ask him. Just say, Daddy, what do you think about me? You know what he's going to do? I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll fill you. All of a sudden, you'll feel his love come, like Diane this morning, just start passing through. You'll feel his arms around you. You might even feel a heavenly kiss on your cheek. You don't know. But he loves you. He called you. He saved you. He's bringing you home. When the time is right, when he's finished with your work down here, he'll take you home. Praise God. That's what really is all about. Hallelujah. I'm done, because I didn't even start my message. Amen. I hope I brought you what God wanted you to. I can't overemphasize this enough. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I don't, you know, a good steak will make you feel good. But it doesn't stay with you long. What I want you to do is every day you wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror and say to that person in there, God loves you. God loves you. It's critical because the world is telling you what you are according to them. God says, what I say is truth. What I say is truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, there's someone here today who needed to hear that you love them. That you accepted them just as they are. And that love you have for them is beyond our wildest dreams. God says that his love for you is unconditional. In the world, you have to earn somebody's love. And sometimes we expect them to have to earn our love. But God says, I give you my love freely. If you've not experienced that love, I pray this morning that you would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess to him that you need a Savior and a Redeemer. You need someone to love you like only he could love you. Let him show you the way. Let him wrap his arms around you this morning. And Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning that you reminded us who we are in you and how much you love us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift you've given to us of life. We praise you for it and we give you glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah.